Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Last week on Hope for Today, we were studying from Luke chapter 22 and verses 1 to 23. Our study was titled, Desire and Destiny. As we began, I said this text provides several clear illustrations of the relationship between desire and destiny. We began our study by looking at the desire of the religious leaders. Their desire and their goal was to find a way to get rid of Jesus. In their minds, he was becoming dangerous to their religious system. They had power and influence with the government and with the common people, and they didn't like it that Jesus was gaining a following that was greater than their own. So they were looking for a way to kill him. Now, there's another illustration we want to look at, the desire of Judas. To prepare for that teaching, let me read our text, Luke chapter 22 and verses 1 to 23. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. That second illustration of desire and destiny is the desire of Judas. Verse 3 makes a very tragic statement. It says, "Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12." So how did that happen? Did Satan all of a sudden decide to move in on Judas? First, we should understand that two differing views of Messiah developed during the period of time between the Old and New Testaments. One view was of the conquering king coming to set up his kingdom on earth, a kingdom restored to Israel. Now, this is a prominent theme in the prophetic scripture portions. That the 12 expected Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom is clear from the gospel record. The other view of the Messiah was that he would be a suffering servant, as is found in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53, and also in some of the Psalms. But because it was very difficult to reconcile these opposing views, a conquering king and a suffering servant, eventually the suffering servant concept was ignored. Now, Judas Iscariot, who was he? The scriptures only give us a few details about him, but there are some clues to help us understand his actions. John's gospel tells us that Judas was a callous man who didn't care about the needs of the poor, even though he pretended to. He was also a thief and was the treasurer for Jesus and the 12. You can read about this in John chapter 12. Jesus knew about Judas' master passion, his covetousness, and yet he entrusted him with the finances of that little group of followers of Jesus. Isn't God's grace amazing? The name Iscariot identifies him as being from Keriot, a small, nondescript town in the Judean hill country. It's interesting that Judas was the only one of the 12 from outside of Galilee. Like the other disciples, he must have seen Jesus as the one who could deliver Israel from the yoke of Roman bondage. So when it finally became apparent that Jesus was going to fulfill the suffering servant aspect of Messiah, Judas was disillusioned, and he sought an opportunity to betray him. You see, Judas' desire for gain, for money, became his undoing. It was the avenue Satan used to enter into his heart and affect his choices. All the time Judas walked with Jesus and the other disciples, he was given opportunities to embrace the teaching of the Master and make right choices. But Judas' life bears witness to Paul's words in 1 Timothy 6:9 about the corrupting influence of money. The desire to be rich leads to many snares and ultimately to destruction. We must also remember Judas wasn't the only one Satan tried to use to keep Jesus from fulfilling his Father's will. Both Matthew and Mark record Jesus' rebuke of Peter. Jesus was telling the 12 about his approaching suffering and death, and Peter began to rebuke Jesus. In other words, he was telling Jesus that what he was saying wasn't going to happen. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now, Peter wasn't literally Satan, but he was allowing Satan to use him to try to dissuade Jesus from his ultimate goal, which was the cross. So Judas' desires guided his choices and would ultimately determine his destiny. Just prior to our text, Matthew, Mark, and John record the anointing of Jesus in Bethany. It was here that Judas complained about the waste of valuable ointment, and he exposed his covetous heart. I imagine Jesus' rebuke stung him. It may have, as we say, pushed him over the edge. It finalized the rift that had been growing between them. Judas could now retaliate against Jesus, and he can make some money in the process. And what was his price? According to Leviticus, 30 shekels of silver was the price you paid if you accidentally killed a male or a female servant. But what was such a small sum compared to what Judas had been promised by Jesus? Jesus had said in his kingdom that the 12 would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What kind of bargain was Judas making? But you know, that's what covetousness does. It focuses on the immediate, and it blinds us to eternal realities. The verb tense here indicates that the religious leaders paid the money to Judas on the spot. So he was most likely carrying that money when he rejoined Jesus and the other disciples. By paying him up front, the religious leaders bound Judas to deliver what he promised. If he didn't deliver, they had all the authority they needed to arrest him. Judas' goals and the goals of the religious leaders met because of their desires. Up until this time, the leaders didn't know how they were going to arrest Jesus. Remember, they feared the people, and Jerusalem was bursting at the seams with Passover crowds. And then there were the recent events of the triumphal entry and Jesus cleansing the temple. These leaders didn't know which way to turn. And then Judas showed up. They had what Judas wanted, and that was money. Judas had what the leaders wanted, someone who knew the details of Jesus' private life and could arrange for his arrest away from the crowds. Now, what about you and me? What kind of desires do we have? Are we motivated by covetousness? This desire has many different forms, you know. And we see it in both the religious leaders and in Judas. I don't want to sound cynical, but in my lifetime, I've observed this connection between money and religious leaders. Money often purchases access, just like it did in this text, or it shuts the mouths of those who know the truth. Either way, it leads to destruction, and woe to you or me if we allow this desire to control us. Are you disillusioned with God? Has He failed to meet your expectations in some area of your life? Most of us have had those experiences at one time or another. And when we do, we need to watch out, because Satan will try to use those unfulfilled desires. He'll suggest to us that God isn't fair or just. If He were, He'd give us what we want. Those kinds of thoughts need to be rejected immediately. We don't want to turn out like Judas did. As we reflect on the evil desires of the religious leaders and Judas, they provide a stark contrast with the final illustration in our text. But that final illustration will need to wait for the next broadcast of Hope for Today. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Desire and Destiny. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Braeswood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Desire and Destiny. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Braeswood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Desire and Destiny. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke's Gospel, Desire and Destiny. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.